Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Let's talk about blood. Hebrews 9:26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. I'd like to preface this study. Many of us, from experience, know the smell of blood. Some of us are hunters, farmers, soldiers, police, EMS, or hospital workers. And when blood has been spilled, the odor cannot be mistaken. Blood is the most potent substance created by God. We cannot enjoy our wealth or engage in lusts or perversions or deceive and be deceived without it. It is necessary for our physical life and for our spiritual life. Without it, we die. Blood is literally all over the scriptures. Jesus Christ's blood covers his saints. Is there any on you? If there is, then the wolves of Christendom are seeking to track you down and destroy you. It's the smell, which only the enemy can detect. And that smell of the blood of Jesus Christ upon his saints came at the highest price in heaven and in earth, the literal death of our God to save us. And what other God can this, the greatest sacrifice in history, be attributed to? None but the true God. So let's move on into the study. From the first recorded sacrifice in Genesis 3:21 until the last and only sacrifice of God himself as Jesus Christ, the Lord God has considered blood to be the only possible way to forgive our sins completely, the only possible way to demonstrate God's covering and protection. God had to kill the animals and shed their blood in order to clothe or cover Adam and Eve after they sinned. Obviously, this covering was acceptable to God because God did this himself. God set his standard early on. Long before the last and only fitting sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God himself spoke to us through Isaiah in Isaiah 1:11. God states, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats." Interesting. God further called these sacrifices vain, because these acts of the law did not cleanse the hearts of men and women. These acts only showed a form of obedience. Thus, according to Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of the law, who has life in his heart, no life was found in the law. And there is supporting proof stated in Isaiah 29:13 and Matthew 15:8. Thus, the need for God himself to make an ultimate sacrifice once and for all. That sacrifice, God himself. Now on to the significance of the blood. A type and shadow of what God recognizes as a fitting cover and sign of those who belong to him through Jesus Christ is found in Exodus 12. The blood on the doorposts and the lintels of old Goshen is like a mark upon the entrances to our bodily temples, in which resides the Spirit of the living God. I refer you to 1 Corinthians 3:16-17 and 1 Corinthians 6:19. The blood of God himself can never lose its potency. The rain can't wash it away. The ravages of the weather and time cannot erase it. So I would like to drill down deeper into a truth about the effect that Christ's blood has upon the unseen forces of darkness in the realms of the spirit, in the powers of the air, which are engaged in the hunt for our souls, that they might destroy us. That is, if God be willing to allow it. It's the smell. What draws a predator to its prospective meal? Primarily, it's the smell. Predators can sense chemical odors of prey, such as emanating from fear. Predators know the nature of their prey by the smell. Predators smell sickness, which translates to weakness. Predators are drawn to scavenge a carcass by the smell of the decay. But the scent of fresh blood is what drives a predator into a wild, unstoppable frenzy. The blood of Jesus Christ upon his saints, although shed for us 2,000 years ago, remains a powerful, fresh scent in the spiritual realms. It attracts the predators which Jesus Christ called ravenous wolves in Matthew chapter 7. After all, if Jesus used hunter-killers like wolves as an analogy of our enemy, then it stands evident that this enemy uses a sense of smell in the spirit realms to identify us as prey. And if we can understand the significance of this blood mark, which is obvious to the enemy of our souls, then we can understand more fully what we have been called into and why it is incumbent upon a true follower of Jesus Christ to be vigilant and to war on the proper field of battle, the spirit realm, which is the cause of the physical effects that manifest in the earthly carnal realm. The damage, of course, being done in the spirit realm first. That's where we stem the tide. Now, I'm not saying all these things to be colorful or witty in your eyes, brethren. There had been revealed to me factual spiritual evidence of this truth regarding the smell of the blood and that which haunts those bearing the mark of the blood. That is a fact. After I had the truth of this revealed to me, there were no longer doubts as to what kind of mark was upon God's saints and the dire seriousness of this war against our souls. There were no longer any doubts about my own calling to serve God and his saints. And thus my adamant preaching to you that we be focused upon that which Jesus Christ commanded we be focused. I'm not a signs and wonder freak, not into this prophecy crap, because I believe virtually all of it is garbage out there. But all of us have had our visitations, all of us have had our promptings from another world by our Lord. Some of us have caught glimpses of things. But this is no need to start a signs and wonders ministry or a prophecy ministry, I assure you. And I take great care in revealing anything that has been given to me. So you can take this or you can leave it. It's the smell of the fresh blood of Jesus Christ upon his saints that attracts the hunter-killers of our souls. And granted, they hunt, but they are only allowed to roam in the king's forest by the pleasure and the order of the king. None can come upon you unless it is ordained that it come first. And to my knowledge, those who have been covered by the blood are never taken. But that's my story, brethren. So we'll proceed to the second star to the right and straight on to sound doctrine from here. You ask yourself, why am I persecuted? Why am I tempted? I answer, the blood. You ask, why am I ostracized in my church for asking the wrong right questions? I say, the blood. Why do I feel so alone and find no fellowship? I say, the blood of your jealous God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Jesus Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. 1 Peter 2:21. And this leads us smack dab into the fellowship of the suffering of Christ. Because as we know, Jesus was abandoned and suffered alone. And this is a concept that we social beings regard as anathema, though it come from the Word of God. We must consider Christ's sufferings and his loneliness upon this earth. He missed his Abba. We must consider the value of Jesus' example. When all abandon us or the wolves are at our heels, we yet have our God and Savior to whom we turn. For though we exist upon the earth, our true selves reside in heavenly places. Luke 17:21. It is written in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." Nothing physical is what that means. Continuing, "But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." So what world do we actually reside in? The always fresh, shed blood of God himself has marked those foreknown and predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, marks them as sons and daughters of God. And we are called to battle as good soldiers, fighting a good fight, and relying upon the victories already won by God's firstborn, Jesus Christ. And the very action of the enemy of our souls, when directed and allowed by God, has a useful purpose in our growth and maturity as grounded followers of Jesus Christ and children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Romans 8:17. Praise the majesty and the mercy of our God. And this fellowship of suffering with Christ brings out a yearning cry from our hearts. No, that cry is an ouch. That cry is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, because he is the only way, folks. That's Paul, Philippians 3:10. And who put that desire in us when we were called? Who equipped us with everything we need? Our Father. No bloodlust upon this earth can match that bloodlust which resides in the unseen realm of darkness. Can you imagine the absolute chaos in Satan's realm when Jesus Christ came to this earth? The end is here, the end is here. It probably rang in his ears. Did this creature of unimaginable malevolence attack Jesus and fight with the Son of God in a mighty pitched battle visible to the known world? No. Satan was not allowed. No one knows how Satan appeared to Jesus, but I am sure that Jesus wouldn't have been surprised or moved by whatever form this malevolence took. God the Father only allowed Satan the opportunity to attempt to swindle Christ's true riches from him, to attack Jesus' vanity, if that be possible. What are these riches of Christ? Of course, his own standing as God's precious Son and heir to a kingdom far greater and longer lived than the one Satan offered him. And so the sales pitch didn't work on Jesus. Obviously. And the hatred and the jealousy of this malevolent king of evil pours forth upon all those marked with the blood of Jesus Christ. But we are assured that whatever attacks come, God the Father, our Father, uses them to his glory and to the enrichment and the strengthening of those God has called into fellowship with his Son Jesus, and into the promise of salvation in the end. And we all know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. It's time we take the fear and trembling stuff seriously, folks. Philippians 2:12. And start looking at our faith in the proper light, the light of Christ and the gospel. If by the merciful calling of God you keep humble and pure, following the example of Christ, eschewing evil, bearing Christ's sufferings, enduring and standing fast in the faith, You have entered in at a straight gate. If you choose to live of the world in compromise and apathy, then it's a wide gate you've entered, and the blood and the preaching of the truth is of no effect. I warn you, God does not waste his blood, saints, not one drop. It is shed for those he has chosen. You think hard on this, and you pray about this. The suffering that a true follower of Christ must endure lasts as long as a morning mist compared to eternity, James 4:14. Is it worth it to suffer the consequences of the smell of blood upon you? Is it worth it to stand firm before your accuser and fear not? Is it worth it to say no to Satan, though he attempt to terrify you into breaking and running away from the cross you've been commanded to take up? Remember something. Life is nothing more than a near-death experience. But life in Jesus Christ is death. Death, which brings life. True life. And if you've been called to go all the way to life as Jesus Christ leads, then don't fear what the smell of his blood upon you will bring. It will bring glory to his Father. It will bring glory to himself. It will bring glory to those who endure in the end. The blood, his death, will bring you into everlasting life at the end of your journey, saints. So be encouraged. This is the good news that I will continue to preach to you. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians 4:3-5. Narrow is the way, my brethren, no two ways about it. It is a spiritual way first, and it is the smell of the blood of Jesus Christ upon you which attracts the predators and the carrion feeders of the dark spirit world to you. It is blood which cannot be covered up or hidden, otherwise God is a liar. The blood of Jesus Christ is upon your doorposts and lintels, saints. You said yes when you were called. So give diligence to God's commands and thereby make your calling and election sure. Christ's blood is upon the entrance to your temples in which the Spirit of the living God resides. And when you are tempted to weaken your stand or to consider fainting from the fear of being surrounded by the wolves in the dark or the hardness of your fight of faith, picture Christ's cross in front of you. That cross smack dab between you and the enemy. And you picture his kingdom beyond, a kingdom promised you. Then take a deep breath and tell yourself, it's the smell. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. You get your shields up, saints, and you keep to the road with Jesus. The God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthen, and settle you. To God be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.